The Revelation of the Book of Revelation, Part 30. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Yahushua in South Africa, Victoria, Montana. Should you require any of the books which I've written, especially the book, The Two Keys to the Book of Revelation. It's a A4 book, nearly 800 pages thick, and it's basically got 30, 35 years of my life in it, in research and studies. Is something not to be missed. The equivalent of that is not available in the world, that you can believe me. And once you've read it, you will see. So if you should be interested in any of my books, please contact us at 0722-367-124. That's our WhatsApp number, and it's an international code, grip my fingers, plus 27. Or just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za, all small letters. If this is the first time that you will participate in our study, the revelation of the book Revelation, I urge you to go to part 1. Start from the beginning because you have missed quite a bit of information. It's also very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the notification of all the other studies, as well as our TikTok messages. Very important. Please send this link to your friends and family, share it with them, and join in the Bible study. It's all what it is. Make sure that you have a 1611 King James Bible ready, a pen and a notepad. Now, we are going to start where we left off last week. My Elohim can reveal any secrets, verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secrets which the king have demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologer and magicians, the true sayers, shew unto the king. They can't show it to the king. They can't. The astrologers, they can't. Daniel answered in the presence. He stood before the king and he's bold, he's not ashamed. He says they can't answer the king. They can't answer the king. Verse 28. But there is an Elohim in the 1611 King James Bible. A king. A God. It says a God. But there is an Elohim in heaven that reveals secrets. Daniel declared that his Elohim is where? In heaven. And that his Elohim has revealed all secrets to the king, hallelujah, and made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel informed the king that his Elohim has made known to the king all these things. I see what he says in the sea part. That shall be in the latter days. Now, when is the latter days? He showed the king what shall be in the latter days. What latter days? This part of our scripture is one of the reasons we have spent all these times listening to what has been said and has happened. Why? Because what's about to happen in the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar shall have an effect in even this 21st century and beyond. It is this dream of King Nebuchadnezzar which shall form the backbone of the future of eschatology. From now on we shall find that was worrying the king so long. The deep part says, the dream and the vision thy head upon thy bed are these. Now Daniel is going to inform the king of the vision and the dream that he had. He can reveal secrets to me. That is what Daniel is going to explain to him. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came unto thy mind upon thy bed. The vision came on you while you were sleeping. For that's come to pass thereafter. That should come to pass thereafter. Daniel informed King Nebuchadnezzar that this was no ordinary dream. It just was not a normal dream. But this dream will have an effect in the history of mankind, even in the time of the end. Or the end times. That's the time we're living in now, in this 21st century. Did you know that the things that King Nebuchadnezzar saw is coming to fulfillment in this 21st century, the unification of religions, of mankind, becoming one in a new world order religion, one cashless money system, one government system. That's the feat that he saw, that he saw. This is all coming to fulfillment. All of this, which we're going to find, didn't just happen in the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, about 2,570 years ago. No, it's coming even to fulfillment in this 21st century. And he that revealed secrets makes known to thee that thou shalt come to pass. Daniel confirms that Jah Almighty have shown the Babylonian king's secrets to him, which shall come to pass. But as for now, the scripture in verse 30 says, but as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom, but I have more than any living. Daniel is explaining to the king that his Elohim, Yahweh, has given him the knowledge or the revelation in order to inform the king of Babylon again. In this part of our scripture, the humbleness of Daniel is very much evident. Now, when Yahweh uses us, we need to remain humble in the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. We need to be humble in faith. Once we get swollen heads and opinion about ourselves, we're missing the whole revelation. We need to be humble before Yahweh. All glory and honor unto him. But for thy sake, thou shalt make known the interpretation to the king. Daniel informs the king that for the sake of the king of Babylon, and even for us in the end time, the creator Yahweh of Elim, of heavens and earth, shall be known the interpretation, or rather, I will say, the revelation. It's not an interpretation, it's a revelation of his dream. See, and that thou mightst know the thoughts of thy heart. Knowing the interpretation of the dream shall bring calmness to the heart of the king. According to the study scripture, it is evident that Daniel gave all honor and glory unto Yahweh Almighty, who will reveal the king's dream. And that's what we need to do. When wonderful things start happening in the spirit, we need to give all the glory unto Yahweh our Elim. Daniel explained the meaning of the king's dream. When studying this dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, we need to pay attention, because what Yahweh our Elim is about to show to Daniel will have an effect in the 21st century and beyond. I've said it earlier tonight, I'm saying it again. It will have an effect in this time. A lot of the churches doesn't want to know anything about it. Especially the eschatology. Theology, yes. But they try to stay away from the eschatology. Why? Because the truth and the revelation of the eschatology is making them nervous. Because if you understand the eschatology as it's written in the Bible, and you understand the figurative speech, where Yahweh is using one thing to explain something else, then suddenly the book of Revelation and Daniel just blossoms. It blossoms like a flower. It just opens. It blooms like a flower. But they don't want to know it. Why? Because they are scared of the end time. If you live in holiness and in righteousness every day, walking in faith in Yahushua, then you don't need to fear anything. Since I was a small boy of about 13, my father taught us not to fear death. He said, you do not fear death. Because death is only a curtain that's between me and something on the other side. And for many, many centuries, the church scared people to fear death. Oh, there's going to come an angel of death, and he's going to have a mask, and he's going to have a sword, or a sickle, and... No. Now, when... That's for the ungodly. But when a Yahfist, or part of the bride of Yahfashua dies, I believe that Yahfa sends angels from paradise to go and fetch you, to take you to paradise. It's not an angel with a sickle that cuts your life, and... No, we do not fear... Why? Because Yahshua retained authority over death and the realm of death. That's why the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56 to 58. You can go and read it. You don't need to fear death. You're only walking through this curtain. You know, if there's a window and there's a curtain, you don't know what's on the other side. But through the grace of Yahshua and the word, the revelation word, we have the total knowledge of what is behind the curtain, behind this life curtain. So what do? We just step through the curtain into eternal life. What did Yahshua say to the guy on the cross today? You will be with me in paradise. And that's where everything starts. As we as bride of Yahshua die now, Hades doesn't have no... Hades, realm of death, they have no hold on the bride of Yahshua. We walk through the front door, out the back door. Why? Because we've got the keys of life, which we received when we were born again through water and spirit, into paradise. Hallelujah. We are not bound like the sinners and the evil spirits in chains. So we don't fear what is happening in this 21st century. When we look around us, we see the things that's happening. The cashless money system, the microchip. Everybody is boasting about the microchip, and it's so convenient, there's a cash, and it's a document-free ID, and it's all part of the Antichrist system. It's all part of the Antichrist system. And you know what? We as the bride of Yahshua in this day, the Bible explained to us exactly, Revelation 13, verse 16 to 18. You can go and read it, you can study it. He explains to us, in the great tribulation, nobody will buy or sell without the mark on the right hand of forehead. Who are they? There's those who've been left behind when Yahshua came to parousia his bride. The Greek word is parousia, to draw us away into heaven, to be with him. Hallelujah. Verse 31, you don't need to fear death or the effect of what the king's going to see. Verse 31, thou, O king, source and beyond a great image. Daniel drew the king's attention to the size of this image he saw in his dream. It was not just an ordinary image. No. Instead, it was huge. The Bible says, this great image, whose brightness was excellent, it was shining like gold. This huge image had a great and excellent brightness, stood before thee. And the form thereof was terrible. Ay, 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 ay. Daniel is explaining to the king that in his dream, this huge image came and stood before him. No wonder King Nebuchadnezzar nearly passed out. We will now closely examine the king's dream. The image was awesome, tall, and was dazzling bright. And his form was terrible. Actually, that terrible means frightening. You know, as bride of Yahshua, we are not scared of anything. We're not scared of the devil. We're not scared of the works of the devil. We're not scared of demonic powers. We're not scared of anything. Because we're walking in the light of the truth. We're walking in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. In the name of Yahshua, the name above every other name. What a privilege for us to have this sword, to have this armor through the Ruach HaKodesh. The following scripture is important because the material of substances which this image consists of shall play a major role in every kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar, the time of Babylon, even unto today, 2024 and beyond. Hallelujah. The different material the beast consists of. When looking at this image, we find that Daniel starts at the head. He starts at the head. Why the head? Because the head is the nerve center of the body. That's why Yahushua says, we are in the body of him, Yahushua. But he's the head, he's the nerve center. He's the information nerve center, the information center. And that's why for many, many years, we when we were in the church, we didn't understand the figurative speech when the Bible says, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. So what do? You just pull your heart out, you give it to Jesus as we used to know him? Yahushua, no. It means your soul dimension from here, my eyebrows, to the top of my head. That's my soul's dimension. This is what is working. That's my nerve center. This will never die. It's eternal. It's life. That's my soul. So what does Yahushua want? In your whole body. This is the part he wants. Because your heart is only a pumping station. But also if we understand the figurative speech when the Bible says, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. You know, if your heart, if there's something wrong with your heart and it doesn't pump right, you will die. You will have medical effects. So he said, it's only a theme that is used, figurative speech, of accommodating your spiritual being. The physicality of your soul's dimension. And that is what is going to live forever. Right. When looking at this image, we find that Daniel starts at the head. Why the head? Because the head is the nerve center of the body. Rather, the CPU central processing unit. Central processing unit, like in a computer. This controls the hard drive and all actions of a computer. What is it? What controls it? CPU. CPU, Central Processing Unit. I trust that you understand the figurative speech I tried to give to you. This is the control unit of this whole body. Where does sin happen? Not in my body. Everything starts here. If there's a nice little lady walking past here with a short mini, just look at it. Where does it start? It doesn't start in my body. It starts in my soul's dimension, in my brain, immediately. It's what happens from there that's going to affect the body. So this is where the Ruach HaKodesh has to be taken control of. This is how we, as bride of Yahushua, are controlled by the Ruach HaKodesh through our nerve center. Look at the head. The head, the image head was of fine gold. The head of this image was of quality gold. It's just not gold, fine quality gold. The breast and the arms are of silver. The head, the breast and the arms are of silver. The breast and the arms are of silver. The belly and this brightness of the belly and thighs of brass. The legs of iron. The feet, part of iron and part of clay. The feet consist of two components, iron and clay. The feet consist of how many toes? 5 and 5. 10 toes. Note that according to the Bible, Daniel saw 5 different kingdoms. In time to come. Later in the study, I shall reveal the 6th kingdom, not made with any hands. Hallelujah. And you know what? That is not named as a kingdom, but it's the greatest kingdom. This specific earthly kingdom will play a major role in this 21st century, even beyond. We shall now study the interpretation of the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. The first kingdom, Babylon, the head, gold. Daniel 2, verse 37, 38. Thou, King Nebuchadnezzar, was given the kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Thou, O King, are the head made of fine gold. Understand that? The second kingdom, Media and Persia, the silver. Daniel 2 verse 39, the Bible states that the second kingdom will be inferior and will not have the same power as the first kingdom. It is the breast and the arms made of silver. The third kingdom, Greece, which is brass. Third kingdom, brass, Greece. Daniel 2, 37, 39. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass shall rule over the earth. The fourth kingdom is Rome, which is iron. Daniel 2, verse 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be of stone as iron. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdue all things, that was the kingdom of iron. And as iron that breaks all things, shall it break into pieces and bruise. So Babylon kingdom, Babylon, the Roman kingdom, the greatest kingdom that ever lived, even living up to this 21st century. Prof? Yeah. It is as alive as you can get. Although it disappeared from the map around 570 AY after Yahushua, it's still functioning today through the Vatican. All they use is another emperor, the Pontifex Maximus, which is, of course, the Pope. King of the Emperor, the Roman Emperor, Pius, and also King of the Church, the Pope. We will talk about that as we go on. And that's why it's still alive today. The Fifth Kingdom, the Global New Age Dispensation. Why? Partly iron and partly clay. The Fifth Kingdom, the feet, made of iron and clay. Daniel 2 verse 41 to 43. The fifth kingdom, his legs are of iron and his feet. The fifth kingdom, his legs are of iron and his feet part of clay, iron and clay. The fifth kingdom has feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron. The kingdom will be divided. The fifth kingdom shall be the last kingdom before the coming of Yahushua for his bride. Hallelujah. That we know. Oh, yes. The bride knows it. The fifth kingdom is one who we are currently living in this 21st century. Where are we living in? In the fifth kingdom. Where is that? The feet, the iron and the clay. As we continue, I shall elaborate on this fifth kingdom. The next kingdom is the mystery kingdom. So that will be kingdom number 6. The next kingdom is what? A mystery kingdom. Most Protestants and charismatic churches have missed it. Because it's not shown to be a kingdom, but rather the following scripture in the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh shall reveal this kingdom. You need to read with spiritual eyes. As the most important kingdom of them all, most more important than the head and the shoulders and the belly and the legs and the feet of clay. There's a sixth kingdom. In this study of the sixth kingdom, we need to pay attention to the figure of speech in it. The sixth kingdom. The kingdom of Yahushua, the stone from the mountain. Hallelujah. Now you must fasten your seatbelt. This is things that the church, most of the church has never taught us. Verse 34. Thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands. No hands was used. We found a mountain, and from the mountain came a stone which was not cut with human hands. Hallelujah. Understanding the figurative speech, we find that this mountain is who? Who do you think is the mountain? Yahweh our Elohim. He's the mountain, the creator of heaven and earth. Then, from the mountain, Yahweh our Elohim, came the stone, not a stone, the stone, who is Yahweh Shua. This is Yahweh Elohim sending his son to redeem the bride over this period of more than 2,000 years, since 2,000 years till today. At the end of time, after the bride of Yahshua have been drawn from the earth, with other words, the bride is going to be parousia. The bride is not going through the great tribulation. We see everything happens. We know everything according to the word, but we take note of that. And then we are going to be parousia. We're going to be drawn away. Not rapture. Listen nicely. Rapture is for the church. It's not for the bride. You understand? Let me rephrase. Rapture is not even for the church. Because the church is going through the great tribulation. The church is going to take a mark on the right hand and forehead. The rapture, the harpazo in Greek, is for the one-third of Israel. The remnant of Israel. But Prof, what about the church that wants to repent after the parousia has happened, the coming of Yahshua? They can repent. They can call upon the name, but it's not going to help because there's no Ruach, there's no Holy Spirit. He's been drawn away. 2 Thessalonians 2 and further. You can read it. Well, you can start with chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, especially 4. You see, the bride's been taken away. The Ruach HaKodesh has been taken away. So how are people going to be saved? How is the church going to be saved now? There's just one way. Rejected the blood of Yahshua, the blood of grace. They rejected it. They tramped upon it. Now they will have to buy eternal life with their own blood. Go read Revelation 6, verse 9. Go read it. It's them that bought eternal life with their own blood. And what happens to them? Do they become bride then? Once they are killed, their heads are cut off. No, they can't go into heaven as bride. They go and rest under the altar of Yahweh, under his throne, says the Bible. We're going to walk through this, but I'll just give you some information. They're not part of the bride. And it's them who's going to reign with Yahshua for 1,000 years, not on earth. That's a Catholic theology. A Roman Catholic theology. 1,000 years earthly reign. No, no, it's in heaven. Go read Revelation 20 verse 4. It's them that has not taken the mark on their right hand and forehead and who's been slaughtered. And they will reign with Yahshua for 1,000 years. Not the church like we've been taught. Why will the bride want to reign with Yahshua for 1,000 years on this earth? Even the reign for the ones that's been beheaded, that's under the altar, is not on the earth, it's in heaven. You might go and read Revelation 20 verse 4. See the revelation in it. Read it slowly. Read it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Together with Revelation 6 verse 9. And further on. So what will happen here? After the bride of Yahshua has been drawn from the earth, the great tribulation shall come to in existence. After 7 years and 105 days, the remnant of Israel shall be saved. Not 7 years. 7 years and 105 days. Immediately after the battle of Armageddon shall return. Or shall occur. You understand? Now, where do we get the 7 years and 105 days? Well, very easily. If you take Daniel 12 verse 11. And you will find that it says 1,230 days. 1,290 days. Plus Daniel 12 verse 12, added together, 1,335 days, 2,625 days, divided by 30, it gives you 30 days a month, 12 months a year, you will find 7 years and 105 days. The 105 days is the time that the devil, the Satan, the deceiver, the serpent, that will be bound in a pit. 405 days, there will be peace on earth, and the Antichrist people won't even know it. That will be in the midst of the 7 years. In the midst of the 7 years, after 3.5 years, after the parousia has happened, 1260 days, then for 105 days you will have peace on earth. The Antichrist people won't even know it, because they are marked, they are doomed, and then Satan will be left again, will be opened from the pit to accumulate the Antichrist. And you will, the Gog of Magog, and they will come to war against Israel. That's the second 1260 days. So he was got 1260 days, 105 days, 1260 days, 7 years, and 105 days. We'll speak about this later on as well. At the end of the time, after the bride of Yahushua has been drawn from the earth, the great tribulation will occur, will come to existence. After 7 years and 105 days, the remnant of Israel shall be saved. Immediately, the battle of Armageddon will start to exist. As we continue with the study, I shall explain everything I've just said. He says in the B section, which smooth the image upon his feet. Now what I'm going to do, I'm just going to stop here. I'm just going to stop here because I don't want to chase through it, because this is so very, very important. Go read verse 35 and further on yourself and see if you can see the figurative speech and the revelation word of Yahweh. If his father's will, till next time. Maranatha, Yahushua's coming back again. Hallelujah.